Amen. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do all the things that you want us to do and lead us into those things. And we praise you and thank you for helping us out with those things that have become a block on us. And we thank you for that too, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. And Lord, let obedience be in our hearts at all times too. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, has anybody else got a prayer? Yeah, Anna.
I would like some prayer of agreement, and then I have a testimony to share. But can everyone just agree with me? We've been having such a hard like trial lately with like just complete rebellion from Shoshana and like extreme laziness, and like I tell her to do something and like it's not done, or she'll put in as much effort to not do it. Like today she had something stuffed, some garbage stuffed under the little toys outside. So I told her to throw it away. So she stuffed it under the trampoline. Like stuff like that. It's just, it's wearing on me. It's like she won't put her shoes in the rack. She won't hang up her jacket. She won't take care of her dirty laundry. Like all the little things. Like she just tries to get away with as much as she could possibly get away with. And it's just very rebellious and it's very difficult. So thank you, Lord. We just agree together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the brethren and their faith, and we just agree together in the name of Jesus that this spirit has no right in this house. The spirit of laziness, go from her in Jesus' name. Rebellion, go. Apathy, whatever it is, just rebellion and laziness, I guess it probably sums it all up. And anything else, just go from Shoshana, go from this house in the name of Jesus. I
Amen.
thank you, Lord, for putting a diligent heart in her, an
Amen.
honest heart, a diligent spirit, to work hard, to work diligently, Lord, to serve others, and that she would take joy in doing in a job well done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord. We just praise you and thank you that we put our faith together with her. And we thank you for the angels that's going to help her do this, Lord, that push her around and make her do the things that she's supposed to, place it in her heart to want to. And we thank you, Father, for doing that, for Shoshana, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Can I share a testimony too?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I was praying with someone the other day, and as we were praying, they asked for prayer, and they asked, named a couple things to pray for, and they said a spirit of rejection. So that's what I started with. I was like, in the name of Jesus, we just command the spirit of rejection to go, which is a simple prayer like that. And then I like started to say another sentence, and I like choked on my words. Because I got this whiff of death. It was so bad, like a roadkill. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, do you smell that? And they were like, no. And we both were sniffing the air, and we never smelt it again. I think it was that spirit leaving.
Amen.
And I was just like, wow, I have never actually seen like or had a manifestation like that when praying for someone like that. I've never smelled a demon. I've heard of people smelling demons, but. And I was like, wow, like the spirit of rejection smells like death. Like that should really maybe encourage some people, like how horrible it is, because it was horrendous. It was very offensive smell. And we haven't had it before or after. So
Praise
praise the
God.
Lord. It's gone.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I want to pray for Shoshana too. Father, thank you for this little sweet girl, and that she's going to have a change of attitude, and it's going to be evident for everyone to see. I thank you, Lord, for putting that willingness in her, and that she's going to want to be like her mama, and she's going to want to help and be like her little mommy's little helper, and just have a sweetness about her, more so than ever before. And that self-will and rebellion and just defiance and all those little things that manifest. They're bound and they're gone in the name of Jesus. They can't stay. And we thank you, Lord, that there is agreement here and that your word is power and that you're teaching, you know, you're teaching Anna and even the boys things too through this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for great patience, long suffering, and that Anna just has a real spirit of gentleness and firmness about her. And that I just pray for a little, even just the fear of a whooping, that mom means business and she doesn't want to get spanked, that she wants cuddles and kisses and she doesn't want a whooping. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Boy, it was a beautiful day here today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a whole full week of it. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Missy here Sunday safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for fortifying our hearts for this visit in Jesus' name. Amen. No, we always like it when you come, Missy. Come on. Go ahead.
I'd like to pray about the Moroni going to his niece's memorial service Saturday. It starts at seven. No, it doesn't start at 7. Starts at 10 in the morning. This is a viewing, and then at 11 is a service. And I'm guessing it's not going to be real long. I can't imagine it being more than an hour. I don't know, but anyway. And we have to leave at 7, so we have to get up earlier than both of us are used to get going. And we just pray, Lord, for traveling mercies, Lord, that we get there and back safely, Lord, and that we get back before dinner time. And just give me the strength and the energy to do everything that I need to do to finish up packing and everything for Sunday, and that I get a good night's rest, Lord, so I can get on the road just before 7, Lord. You know, that's my normal routine, and I mean, if you want to change that on me, if you want to tell me something different, I'm all for that. But but that always seems to be a good time to get going, not too early and not late. So. I just thank you, Lord, for safe travels for a Saturday and safe travels for me going down, Lord. Good gas mileage, no hiccups for both trips, Lord, and no fender benders or anything like that. And thank you, Lord, for strength and energy for both trips and no tiredness, no droopy eyes, and we just I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for both trips, and give Mara and I your words of wisdom and comfort and love to the family, Lord, and comfort them, Lord, and use this to bring salvation to the family or draw ones closer to you that already know you, but that they would know you in a greater way, Lord, and seek you more and really know that life is short, Lord, and you that they would number their days and redeem the time, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that Diane's with you, Lord. I believe that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can I just add to that? Father, I pray you give Missy and Merle both the opportunity to minister to anyone receptive there at this memorial service to Father, that you would give her the words and Merle the words to speak life and salvation and comfort and encouragement, Lord, that they would be rejoicing and that they don't have to worry, they don't have to be so sad, whatever, however you lead them, Lord, that there's somebody there that needs to hear the truth, Lord, that you would present that opportunity and that Missy would know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, amen. There's something that was not in real raw news. That was something else, wasn't it?
It was on his ex. It was on his ex account. It wasn't posted on his site yet.
Oh, okay.
I sent it to you in Signal. I don't know if you had a chance to read it yet.
I haven't. There's been a lot going on here. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Michael,
Yeah,
would you
go
like
ahead.
me to read it and then we can pray
Yeah,
about it?
please. Yeah.
Okay, let me find it.
This is an article about what now?
Hold on. Luke. Okay, this is from Real Raw News on his X account. So it's just says this is like kind of a an update thing that he received. He said, breaking, per reliable sources, the DOJ has just received criminal referrals that implicate petroleum magnates in a grand conspiracy to artificially inflate fuel costs, even though the U.S. has a vast abundance of gas, per our sources, despite the mainstream media claims that we're in a gas crunch. The SPR is 100% full. The offshore and inland rigs are producing so much fuel that we're having to export 35% more than we did in 2016 to 2025, simply because we don't have the storage capacity to hold it. But bigwig fuel executives, who usually are in line with conservative values, are exploiting the crisis to keep people paying more at the pump. And he just says that we'll publish more on this once we have more verifiable information. But I thought it'd be something we can definitely pray about.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, Lord, we just thank you for exposing these big wig oil executives that are doing this. And Lord, we thank you for the DOJ going after them and punishing these people for doing this to the American people. And I thank you, Father, that there's going to be reparations, like a lowering of the gas prices considerably. To 50s prices for a while to pay everybody back what they've spent. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. It's being done even as we speak. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? I paid $3.79 a gallon today for gas. That's higher than that in California, isn't it? Yeah, Missy.
The last time I paid for gas and it was lower than what it had been. I think the most I paid was 4.89 around here. The other day it was 4.61.
How much?
I paid as much as 4.89 a while back, since it's gone up, but just the other day I paid 4.61. It was lower.
It hadn't hit $4 here yet, but boy, it's getting close.
Well, Pennsylvania has a high gas tax. I think it's like 70 cents a gallon.
That doesn't surprise
That's
me.
crazy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anna.
But just to comment on what Julie read, people have tried to explain that to me, why our gas is higher, and I still didn't I couldn't comprehend it. To me, it just didn't make sense because We don't need other people's oil, so why does that affect our gas?
Because the executives can do it. People's not gonna,
Right.
they're not gonna say anything because they don't know, you know. We have the largest gas and oil reserves in the world sitting right here in the United States. There is one up there, and if y'all remember the Alaskan pipeline and what they found up there, they said that there was enough oil in that pool up there that they just got into to last America for 300 years. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And we're getting gas over almost well over $4 in a lot of places. That's crazy. Probably $6 out there where Julie is out there in world of the nutcases.
Yep, it's pretty expensive out here, for everything. But Lord, I just thank you that they're gonna expose all this stuff, and
Amen.
there's gonna be a great outcry, and they are going to have to lower the prices at the pump, regardless of what the state and local jurisdiction or what they deem. You know, it is a monopoly. It is a conspiracy. It's wrong. And Lord, we know you hate unjust scales and balances. So Lord, we thank you for doing the right thing. I remember when Trump and his, I think it was his inauguration speech, he was saying in that one point, he said, drill, baby, drill, that they were gonna, do everything, right here for us. And I thank you, Lord, that they've apparently been doing what they've been doing, and the whole tariffs thing and all that stuff, Lord. We just pray that you continue to use fulfill the plans and purposes and everything, all the promises and all the intent and all the good things that President Trump had planned to do and said he was going to do, that by your grace and your will, Lord, that it will ha come to pass, Lord, for your namesake and for the American people who've been under such oppression. And it's not just here. You know, he wants to bring freedom to other places, God, and that we can help other nations the right way. Lord, we just thank you that you're perfect in everything that you do, and we don't always understand these things, but we thank you for straightening out what's crooked. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Julie. Julie, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I know that there were some prophetic words per se about refineries being attacked and stuff. And we've have seen some of that, some refinery fires and this, that, and the other thing, things that have affected refineries. And so we just we send confusion in the camp of the enemy and scatter them, and we forbid any plans of nefarious acts against refineries that would affect their production or just any kind of acts against them, terroristic acts or whatever you want to call them, domestic terrorism, whatever, it doesn't matter. We send forth the angels to foil all their plans in the name of Jesus and return recompense on their own heads in Jesus' name. And we just scatter them and forbid them to even get their heads together and just fight each other that they don't even have time to, and bring to justice any plots and schemes to do any harm to any of the refineries. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus will fix it. Amen. All right, anyone else? Is there anything else going on we need to pray about? Lord, we thank you that over in Iran, that the people are taking control, and we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the IRGC has been defeated. And we thank you, Father, that this is going to make way for the Shah to come in and take over. In Jesus' name. I'm speaking by faith here. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, I don't have one. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody else got something they want to pray about? Lord, I thank you when these elections come up that every one of them are being watched and they're going to be correct. There's not going to be any vote finagling going on. And we thank you, Father, it's going to be a true and fair election. And whoever wins, wins. And whoever doesn't, doesn't. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a great overthrow of the woke crowd. That to send a message that this is not the way we are in America. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
Michael, did you see that where Tennessee declared June instead of Pride Month, they declared a nuclear family month?
No, I didn't. Praise
Yeah, they
God.
just declared that. So thank you, Lord. Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank you,
Lord, we pray
Jesus.
that other places would follow suit, Lord, that people would be so
Amen.
fed up with this. Lord, we know we don't rise up against it, Lord, but we pray that there'd be plenty of people just rise up against it. And Lord, that's not enough. We need ministers to go out there and bring hope to these people, Lord, that there's forgiveness, that there's hope for them, that there's change, that this is a to bring repentance, Lord. We need the John the Baptist ministry to these very lost, mostly if not all abused people, Lord, these confused, demon possessed people. Lord, we pray that there be many ministers out there, Lord, that you give giftings. I know there are certain people who are gifted with this. Lord, I pray that you bring these people to these people who know how to minister. I wouldn't have a clue, Lord, but I know you could put that in any, you could use anyone, Lord. You could put the words in anyone's mouth, Lord. I pray that you send forth the laborers into that harvest specifically in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord, that the woke crowd is going to be annihilated, and that it's no, we're not going to have this problem anymore. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right, Judy's got a song ready, so let's listen to some good worship. Black screen.
There's no darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty. God of mercy, there's no hiding from your face, there's no striving in your grace, God. Open the eyes of
the light that shines above. Become the light that shines in us. There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Where are we in the real good news? Anyone know right off the top of your head? We are on. Is it 152? No.
Michael, I have page 128.
Okay.
Second paragraph there.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Well, Lord, I ask that you bless us tonight with new revelations out of this wonderful Bible study. And we praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. David says, I had cast out about 10 demons when the Lord spoke to me, and he said, they entered in through that TV set. Remember, this is the guy that had the demons on at this thing. I thought, they entered in through the TV set, and I asked Jim, who was now much more in his right mind and was much more in control of himself, Jim, what were you watching on this TV set? Then, and he showed me that he'd been watching pornography. It was just amazing to me that here was a guy who had just come to the Lord, and the Lord sobered him up, and he was gloriously saved, but he didn't have any better sense than to go and do something like that. But you know, the Lord gave him a swift lesson. When you're saved, you're under the Lord, and he doesn't treat you like he treats the world. He loves you so much that he'll do something drastic sometimes to turn you around, and that's what happened with Jim. You say, it was to turn him around? Yes, this was a real strong lesson for Jim. Then the Lord told me, there are two more demons. Leave them in there. I'd never heard the Lord say that before, but I know it was the Lord, so I said, okay. Jim was in his right mind, and I left. At the next assembly of God's people at the mission, Jim was there, and he was doing pretty well, able to function. And after I gave the teaching, Jim came forward for prayer because he wanted some more deliverance. And I knew the Lord was teaching me something in this particular aspect. The Lord has been teaching me for decades as I've been diligently seeking him, and he's still teaching me. I don't think we should ever be unteachable. Anyway, Jim came forward, and just as I was getting ready to pray for him, the pastor who was standing beside me reached out his hand to slay him in the spirit, so to speak. The Holy Spirit rose up in me. When the pastor did that, and I did something that I would never do normally. I'm pretty meek and quiet person, not very domineering over people. And I try to keep my place with the Lord and so on. But when the pastor laid his hand on Jim's forehead, and Jim began to fall backwards, right then the Holy Spirit just rose up in me. And I quickly stepped to the side and put my hand behind Jim's back to stand him back up. And so he only fell a little bit. And I just commenced to command the demons to come out of him, which was what he came down there for in the first place. And I realized that the devil wanted Jim out on the floor. The devil didn't want us to exercise dominion over those demons. And as I learned later, this pastor had been part of a very famous rock band. He came to the Lord, but he didn't come all the way. He still had a lot of demons in him, and that was proven to me over the time that I ministered there. When the Lord dried him up, I found myself doing all the teaching for some time, and I even took over his radio ministry for a short while. And when I asked him, "Aren't you going to preach anymore?" he said, "No, I feel kind of dried up." And I thought to myself, that was a good thing for the Lord to do. Anyway, Jim got his deliverance, and I realized the devil was using that slain in the spirit thing to try and keep Jim from receiving deliverance. Amen. And I tell you, we need to recognize our authority in the Lord and not get in the flesh like the seven sons of Sceva did when they preached a Jesus whom Paul preaches. Those demons said they didn't know these men. They jumped on them and they bested them so that they fled out of there naked and wounded. And God told his disciples in Matthew 11 and 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force." And he told them, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Yet he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." In the New Testament, this born-again experience gives us the authority to act in the name of Jesus Christ. A baby Christian cast those demons out of the deacon, and I was casting out demons when I was very young in the Lord. I had a lot of faith because the Lord gave me a gift to love the Word and get filled with the Word. Romans 10, verse 17 in the King James Version says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." My faith was just a natural byproduct of staying in the Word. And I really believed in God as my Savior, that God is the one who wants to live through me, speak through me, and do works through me. And I believe that we are the body of Christ for the purpose of Jesus Christ living in this body. In casting out those demons in Jim, the Lord showed me that we have to exercise our dominion and not wrestle with flesh and blood. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I have a question. If we could back up to the end of the last paragraph there at the top of the page.
Sure.
Can we talk, just because, I don't know, I guess I want to know exactly what it is and why it's not right. And maybe I don't know, maybe there's other people that aren't real clear about it, but what exactly is, where he talks about, slain in the spirit, and what does it mean? Why is it wrong or right? What happens when that's manifesting?
In my experience, it's sometimes pastors just want to show that they have the Spirit of God, and they go up, and you've seen Benny Hinn do it probably many times, and they'll pop somebody on the head and they'll fall out, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of that is show, in my opinion. I've seen it wholesale in churches, mostly in Pentecostal churches. And I've told, when I've preached myself, I've told people, don't fall out unless the Holy Spirit does it. Don't do it just because for me. I don't care. You know, if it's the Holy Ghost, that's one thing. But if it's, you're just doing it to please me, don't, you ain't pleasing me. You got to please the Lord God himself. And that's what happens a lot of times. They're trying to please the pastor or whoever's up there speaking when they fall out.
So when, what happens to the person that gets slain in the spirit when they fall out, and they have no, I guess what I'm wondering, is that part of like the whole false revival Kundalini thing?
It could be the truth.
Okay. Well, how are we supposed to know the difference?
Well, if you should know the difference, I can tell the difference in somebody that's faking it and somebody that's not. Generally speaking, there'll be a deliverance of something going on there. And or they'll get a word from the Lord. You know, it's,
we just need to really be discerning and really, asking God.
Yes.
Sorry.
You should have the gifts of discernment when you go a step up there in front of people. Yeah, it's a lot of times you see it on TV a lot. I don't know if you do anymore. I hadn't watched TV in so long. I don't know if I even do it anymore.
Well, it's in videos, you know, it's in videos and people you see in different settings where they might be doing that. And,
yeah,
and I know, you know, I know there's so much out there that's wrong, but I guess we all need to be educated and stuff like that. 'Cause we're going to be part of, you know, that kind of movement things, and we might even run across people who think when that happens that it's wrong, and that you come up to somebody and they might just fall down, and you know that would be the Lord if we're not, you know, putting our hands out on somebody, you know, or something like that. But I guess it's, we just have to just have knowledge about what this is about. That's why I asked about it, Michael.
Discernment is good in those kind of instances. Most of the time they're just trying to please the pastor, give him recognition, you know. A lot of times, I don't know about most of the time, but a lot of times what I've seen is they're doing that. And sometimes it's real, and sometimes it could be that Kundalini spirit. They do that all the time in those kind of meetings. And they're liable to manifest too. They're liable to manifest as barking dogs and what have you. So I've seen that. So yeah, that's why the Lord wants us to pray for discernment and wisdom. All right, anybody else? Does everybody understand what we're talking about?
Michael, I didn't know what page we're on.
We're on 129 right now.
Last
paragraph, I think. Is that right? Yeah.
Thank you. Just got on, better go. So, thank you.
Okay. David says, you know, I made a little joke earlier about cast out spirits with a word. And I asked, what could that word be? I'd like to find out what that powerful word is. Well, now I'm going to tell you. First, let's back up in the chapter to Matthew 8, verse 5. And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That sounds like demons, doesn't it? Verse 7, and he saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Why was the centurion talking about authority to rule over his servants? What does that have to do with this situation? Well, the centurion recognized that Jesus was a person of authority. He knew Jesus had authority, but authority to do what? Was it authority to rule the angels? Was it authority to rule the demons that were in this paralytic boy? Yes. I would say that the centurion recognized Jesus as an authority in the spiritual world and in the spiritual kingdom. Jesus had authority over the forces of darkness, and he also ruled over the angels who go forth and serve those who are heirs of salvation. And Jesus overcame to rule over the principalities and powers. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So the centurion was seeing this authority that Jesus was able to exercise, and he knew that nothing could stand before that. He told Jesus, only say the word. There's that word again. You just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Wow! What is that word that he's talking about? We can read on down and see that the centurion recognized the great authority of Jesus in this situation, the great authority of Jesus in the spiritual realm. Matthew 8 and verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall he cast forth into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But he still hasn't said what that word is. Well, it's the same Greek word for word in both Matthew 8 and 8. And Matthew 8 and 16 with the word. The word in both places is logos. And it just means a communication or something that is said. Jesus was something that God said. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word, there is, of course, logos. Because God spoke to us through Jesus, not just through the words that Jesus spoke, but through his life. He's the living word of God. And you ask, so what is the word? Jesus finally comes with the word that the centurion was looking for. And once again, it was not just a single word, but it was a communication. It was a group of words, but it was a word from God. Matthew 8 and 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. And notice that Jesus didn't say, come out in the name of Jesus, or I command you, paralytic spirit, to come out in my name. Although that would work quite well, but he didn't give a name. He just exercised authority. And what was the word? As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. In other words, you said it, you got it. You believed it, it's yours. You see how simple it is, faith is. Praise be to God, it's real simple. You see, there is no magic in the words. People study diligently to find out what you say to demons or how you talk to them and cast them out. It's really simple. We're just exercising the authority that the Lord gave us. John 20 and 21, Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, so even so send I you. He delegated his authority. And just as the Father sent the first body of Christ, he sent the second body of Christ. And Jesus did too. We have that authority. Jesus said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And that's not at all what we think of as the normal deliverance ministry. Jesus was exercising authority. He knew he had authority. He didn't get red in the face wrestling with anybody because he just knew he had authority. Praise be to God. Any questions? The devil is involved in every sickness, but everything is not a demon possession. Even spirits of infirmity don't have to be a possession. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But what does that mean? It means that all the people that Jesus healed were oppressed of the devil. And oppression can be a possession. The devil can oppress you from within and he can oppress you from without, but it's still an oppression. It's the devil's job to administer the Deuteronomy 28 curse on humanity, and he does it well, very well. He does it according to the law of the word, believe it or not. When Jesus spoke, his faith, his agreement with the word, bound the devil and broke his power over the paralytic boy. Remember, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. All you got to do is believe. And now I agree that there are believers in some things who are not believers in other things. But a person does have to believe that they have authority. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And a lot of people brush that off and say, well, Jesus was just talking to those first disciples. He wasn't talking to us. Then how is it that some people are going around casting out demons? And I'm sure some of those naysayers probably wouldn't agree people are doing that, but those testimonies are abundant. People are being delivered of demons, and sometimes just by baby Christians, because the only condition is to believe that you have authority. Boy, that's a profound statement right there. If you just believe that you have the authority, you can do the same thing. Set people free, deliver them, heal them, all of those things. Jesus believed he had authority, and he exercised it, and he spoke it. And Jesus gave authority to the words of the centurion, because even though the centurion wasn't a Jew, according to the old covenant, he was a man of faith. When the Jews didn't believe Jesus, God broke them off the olive tree, and he grafted in the Gentiles who believed. Romans 11:17, but if some of the branches were broken off, and thou being a wild olive was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree, glory not over the branches, but if thou gloriest, it is not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 20. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither would he spare thee. And behold then the goodness and severity of God's toward them that fell, severity, but toward thee, God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and wast grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jesus was willing to go to this man's house to cast the demons out, but the centurion exercised authority and faith. Hey, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. You just say that word and my servant will be healed. And the servant was healed. But notice that since it was the centurion who exercised authority for the servant, God permitted the centurion to exercise his responsibility in the spiritual areas too. He accepted this man as responsible, that he accepted this man's faith. Amen. Anybody got any comments or anything to say about what we just read? Pretty simple. And by the way, you don't have to be a Christian to get saved, to get healed. He just proved it, right? The centurion, his boy was not saved.
But he had to have faith. He wasn't a Christian, but he had faith to believe it.
He believed
I guess
in
that's
Jesus,
the difference.
He believed in difference. Jesus. Jesus had the authority to cast out demons, but he put responsibility upon the people who needed the deliverance, either for themselves or for those under their authority. Jesus didn't say, according to my faith. He said, according to your faith, Matthew 9:27. And as Jesus passed by from thence, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they say unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus strictly charged them, saying, see that no man knows it. But they went forth and spread abroad his fame in all that land. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, who is entitled to deliverance? For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And that's talking about the person who needs the salvation. So we see here that Jesus had authority when a person was entitled to the benefits, but the devil also has rights, and the kingdom of God gives him those rights. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversary. And God says, if you walk in willful disobedience, there's no sacrifice for your deliverance. And you're going to pay the price. You're going to go through judgment in order to bring you to repentance. And you can't take away the devil's authority if he has authority given to him by God. We have authority over the devil only when we are dealing with someone who is entitled to the benefits. Like the centurion who was entitled to the benefits because he believed. Amen. Anybody else want to read? Okay, Julie.
Yeah, I'll read. So not everybody is entitled to the benefits. And as a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 10:5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them that because the Jews had a covenant, and Jesus was going to be the people, and they had a covenant, and Jesus was going to the people of the covenant. Jesus himself said in Matthew 15:24, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Romans 11 speaks of the faithful Jews who stayed in the olive tree and the believers who were grafted into that olive tree. And so all Israel shall be saved, meaning those in the olive tree of all Israel are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Old Testament saints who were born again when Jesus preached to the souls in prison are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. Because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, that aforetime were disobedient when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. Those faithful Jews who came and followed him were believers, and they were entitled to the benefits. Jesus went forth to share the gospel with the covenant people to see who was entitled to these benefits. The centurion happened to be a covenant person by faith, not because he was a Jew according to the old covenant, but because he was a Jew according to the new covenant, and Jesus accepted that. He said, "Go not into any of the Gentiles, in any way of the Gentiles, because these covenant people were entitled to the benefits." What were the benefits? Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye received, freely give. Jesus was saying, don't go to the lost. Go to the covenant people and cast out their demons. A fairly large portion of Christianity today doesn't believe that God's people can have demons, but Jesus was casting demons out of God's people. He and his disciples were going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and casting demons out of them before God turned to the Gentiles. Wow. Here's another proof of that. Matthew 8:16. And when evening was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Who was Isaiah speaking to? He was addressing the Jews. He was addressing Israel. We have the benefits of the kingdom. They belong to us. And not only are they ours, notice their past tense. Jesus took our infirmities. Jesus bare our diseases. It's already been done. Therefore, since it's already been done, we have authority to cast out demons. Also notice that the sacrifice was effectually not, excuse me, the sacrifice was effectually for God's people. You say, but David, I thought it was for whoso will. Well, there isn't anybody who wills except those people who have a gift of faith from God and are drawn of the Father. That's what the Bible says in John 15:16. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. So therefore, the covenant people are the people who will. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Effectually, Jesus died for whosoever will, because these are the ones who have faith and so have a right to the benefits of the covenant. The Syrophoenician woman is another proof of this in Mark 7:25. But straightway, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So here you have a Gentile woman with a daughter who has the spirit of infirmity. And Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In other words, the children of God have a right to the benefit of deliverance. Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The meaning is that the people of the kingdom have the deliverance, but the world does not. We would love to cast demons out of everybody, but there are sometimes God speaks to us and says, cast out that demon concerning one of his elect who hasn't come into the kingdom yet. God can do that because he knows the elect before we do. So don't say we can't cast demons out of somebody who is not a Christian. However, we know without a doubt that that people are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom if they are a child of God. And so we can freely give them those benefits. The benefits are guaranteed to them because Jesus cast out all their demons. However, we know the devil has rights. If we cast the demons out of somebody who is walking in willful disobedience, the demons will just come back. As long as the person won't repent, they're still under the penalty of their sin, and the demons will come back. They returned, even after Jesus was the one who had cast them out. Matthew 12:43. But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into the places seeking rest, and findeth it not. And when he then he saith, I will return into the my house once I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and taketh himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwelleth there, and other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. And so shall it be also unto this evil generation. So Jesus cast demons out, and he healed the sick, but they wouldn't turn from their sins, and they wouldn't turn from their rebellious ways. And guess what? It all came back on them, but it came back on them seven times worse. It happens today too. Many people don't keep their healing or their deliverance, and it's because they won't repent. I apologize. I just kept re-reading over that line. I lost my place. Crap, sorry. It's repeating myself. Does somebody else want to read, or should I continue reading? Go for it, Missy.
We need to appreciate what God does for us. We need to appreciate His grace, mercy, and love so much that we'll decide to live for Him. Many don't do that. They go right back and end up worse than before. Oh, yes, they're so sorry to be free because now they can go sin more, some more. It doesn't work that way, folks. The devil has rights, and he knows it. He's a good lawyer. He knows the Bible, and the Word of God gives him his rights. The Apostle Paul even turned a man over to Satan in order to save him. 1 Peter 5:5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. When people are in rebellion and living under the curse of the devil because of their sins, you may be able to give them some temporary deliverance, but it won't be permanent until they repent. The curse in Deuteronomy 28 is God's chastening upon the wicked to bring them to repentance. God sent the curse, and God sent a savior to deliver us from the chastening. The deliverance is for those not in willful rebellion who believe Jesus, or the chastening and the demonic oppression. Jesus came to show.
Uh-oh.
And serve God, deliverance will do you very well. But if you don't want to repent, deliverance will just be a bigger curse on you. Be sure you appreciate God's precious gift. The Syrophoenician woman expressed her faith, Mark 7:28. But she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go your way, and the demon is gone out of your daughter." And she
went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed and the demon gone out. Jesus certainly didn't argue with the demons or get red in the face or anything else. He spoke it. He knew it had to come to pass. The demons have to obey you. There is the word, the logos right here in that text. For this saying, go thy way. The demon has gone out of thy daughter. There's the communication in the something that is said. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for the word of faith. We have that authority. We're not doing anything of our own power. And we have authority over the power of the devil when we find people who are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. Jesus found this woman who expressed her faith, so she was entitled, and he gave it to her because she too was a child of the kingdom. Through faith, she became Abraham's seed, and her circumcision was a circumcision of heart and not of flesh. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. We have that authority as well when we preach the gospel to the people who believe it and receive it. And then we know we're standing on firm ground and that they're entitled to the benefit. Jesus gave us the demonstration and we walk in his steps. And if you're a believer, you don't have to bring anybody to the preacher. You don't have to know the names of the demons. You don't have to get red in the face and wrestle with anybody or hold anybody down. All you have to do is exercise your authority over the devil. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for the brethren who are studying with us. And I ask that you bless them with the authority and the wisdom that you have spoken in your word. And I thank you so much for bringing to pass in them the life of Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any questions? Missy, you froze up, so we just went ahead and took over.
Okay, because I was like, all of a sudden you started reading when I was reading, and I didn't know I had frozen up, and I'm like, he interrupted me.
Well,
dawned on me then what happened. I was like, what the world? I'm starting to think that they have too many people on this in the evening. There's too many people that get on, like kind of like the problem.
I think that's what you got the problem with is at night. That used to happen to us until we got on this other bunch that had fiber optics. Once we got on that, it's okay. All right. Anybody got any questions or any comments on that word that we need to know about? Go ahead, Judy.
I guess what I kind of gathered from that, you know, and Jesus said, don't go anywhere except the lost sheep of the house of Israel, you know, so the covenant people. But because we don't know who is a Jew, you know, a spiritual Jew, we don't know yet who they are until you start talking to them or like in, you know, like a one-on-one thing, you know, if they believe or not and if they have faith and they're, you know, we have to get some kind of agreement from them. Otherwise, you know, it's like it's, you know, if they would cast, I would hate to be somebody who would cast a demon out of somebody when I shouldn't have, but I know God's bigger than me, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, but I would hate for something to come back, you know, seven times worse, but I don't think he would, you know, that he, you know, he wants us to step out in faith and that kind of thing. But I think it's the agreement that somebody believes about things. As I run into that issue, you know, I've, with my neighbor, I've wanted just to like my hands on his eyes, you know, on his head, whatever, you know, but you know, he's got unbelief, you know, he doesn't, I'm not even sure, you know, where he's at as far as, I don't even think he's, you know, that I haven't gone that route with him about, you know, what things happen when you die, you know, I haven't gone that route. I don't know. It's my place, but you know, I'm just being discerning. Well, anyhow, I can't just pray for that because I don't want to bring like a mocking spirit in there saying like, see, you prayed and nothing happened kind of thing, you know, because he's not going to believe, you know, I'm not going to, you can't do that. So that's why I really haven't been letting do that kind of thing. It's just touchy because they don't know. He knows me as my name, you know, I'm his neighbor. And it's like, I have better success with complete strangers who don't know anything about me. They've never seen me before, but yeah, you can pray for me. kind of thing, you know. And I just walk away believing, you know. So I don't know.
Amen.
Maybe you've had similar experiences, but that's kind of where I'm at. I really have to be led of the Lord and just like we all do. Because not everybody is who they say they are, but you know, God, you want to heal people. You want people to know you are real and that they, you know, it just takes faith. It just takes you to believe in agreement. I know I've done it and I know I can do it. It's just I get caught up with like people like who know me, you know, and they don't want to receive because they're like, no, I don't believe. You know, nominal Christianity too. You know, thank you, Lord, teaching us, you're training us, and it's just I have that authority and I know I do. I get past this like just do it and leave the results to God, right?
Amen. That's what we do. We go out and do the word. When you do the word, people get set free. Praise be to God. All right. Anyone else? I hope this is helping someone out there. Amen. All right, we're in
Amen.
chapter
Yeah,
11 now.
it's just good to go over it. It's good to go over it and over it and over it. And sometimes I don't know about you because you guys are, you know, a lot of you are with people, and you know, you share a lot of stuff like the locals and stuff. But it's like I can read things and reread it, but sometimes just being in a group, there's more like the spirits here. You know, is I don't know if you guys sense that or not. There's a difference
Oh, absolutely.
for me.
Absolutely. All right, does anybody else want to read?
I will
I
read.
can read.
Oh, go ahead. Let Joe read.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Christian and demons. God bless you and thank you so much for joining us in this study. I do pray that the Lord will be with you and give you wisdom to prepare you for the great things that God is about to do. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being with us, Father. Thank you for your precious promises, Father. Thank you for drawing us, Lord, and giving us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Thank you for everything you're working in these coming days. It's for our good and to bring us into the glory of God that was ordained for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Well, saints, we've been learning about the real good news of what the Lord has accomplished for us, how we can cooperate with Him in bringing this to pass. I'd like to back up just a little bit to the previous teaching, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not in any way of the Gentiles and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. We see that the Lord sent his disciples to cast out the demons out of covenant people of God. And we notice that everything that happens to Israel is a type and a shadow for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Howbeit, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it's written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us make trial of the Lord, as some of them made trial, and perished by the serpent. Neither murmur he, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happen unto them by way of example. They were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age are come. The Lord gave authority only for those who were covenant people, because obviously the promises were given for God's people. The promises are not made for the world. What causes the world to enter in it? They have to be believers. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be done unto you. And Romans 1:16, for the gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the condition. It's the only way through the scriptures. It's all the way through the scriptures. You have to be a believer. Now we look at some examples in the previous chapter of people who were not covenant people, according to the Old Testament, but they were covenant people according to the New Testament. They entered in through their faith. We are sons of Abraham through faith, and those who are born from above, born again, are circumcision in heart. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of a heart. And so, just as Jesus sent forth his disciples to cast out demons out of his covenant people, in these days is going to be perfect fulfillment of this in a man-child ministry, sending forth disciples to cast demons out of lost sheep of New Testament spiritual Israel. Some of you reading this are thinking, no, it's not possible. Christians can't have demons. But if it was God's people out of whom Jesus and the disciples cast the demons, Jesus sent forth disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10:5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of a Samaritan, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. Can I go on, or would you want to read, Debbie?
Okay. I have been casting out demons since I was a very young Christian. After I read the book, after I was born again, I just read the word, and I decided I was going to pay attention to what I read. I didn't have a lot of religious experience, so I just read it and acted upon it. And almost all of the people that the Lord used me to cast demons out of were Christians. Folks, don't say it can't happen. It's just not the experience of people. It's just not the experience of people who have the gift of discerning spirits. Do you know what discerning spirits is? It's a spiritual gift that God gives to people who see demons, not just discern them. But the discernment may sometimes be seeing them, and I'm telling you that I see them in Christians. You know, it was a sad situation when we had a revival of sorts in this area because the devil picked a church that doesn't believe Christians can have demons to bring in all sorts of religious deception. Well, just as his first covenant people could have demons, his second covenant people can and do have demons. We need to be wary, folks. Luke 3:10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He called this a spirit of infirmity, a demon spirit that causes a sickness. Luke 13:13. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now that's deliverance. And what did he say? Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He just exercised authority. There was no magic words like come out in the name of Jesus. The Lord just exercised his authority over these demons, and they knew what he said went. It's the same with us folks, because Jesus said in John 10:21, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. He sent out the disciples to exercise that same authority, and we have that same authority today. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. We just need to believe the word of God and start acting upon it. Luke 13:13. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, being moved with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, answered and said to the multitude, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the day of the Sabbath. But the Lord answered him and said, ye hypocrites, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath? One of the conditions he pointed out here was that she was a daughter of Abraham. Isn't it quite legal for a daughter of Abraham to be loosed from the demons on his Sabbath, on the Sabbath? She has a covenant right. She has a covenant with God, a guaranteed right to deliverance from God. Nobody in the world has that but a child of God. In this case, daughter of Abraham. In the New Testament, for instance, in the book of John, Jesus was speaking with the Jews concerning their status in the kingdom. John 8:31. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, so you can believe him in some ways and not in others. If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As in our day, folks, the truth is that Jesus sets us free from bondage. Jesus received that Isaiah 61 anointing to open up the prison to those who are bound and to set the captives free. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is also prophesied in the New Testament in Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned to the in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And the fame went out concerning him through all the region about, round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, and his as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That implies us also, folks. We're to set the captives free too.
Okay, I'll stop there. If anybody else wants to read.
All right, who wants to be next?
Michael?
Yeah, Joe.
Can I just ask, I can read as well, but I just want to ask a question for you. How long in your Christian walk since you can see discerning of spirits? I know you can see demons and you can see angels. How long has been in your Christian walk, if I may ask?
You ask me what? Tell me, Judy, what do you say?
He wants to know, how long in your Christian walk have you been able to see in the spirit? Like, he knows you've seen angels. I don't know that you've seen demons, maybe. Yeah, you've seen demons too. How long, when did that start for you? Is that what you meant, Joe?
Yeah, in your Christian walk, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm asking, thank you.
I'm trying to think how many years it's been. Early on in my Christian walk, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, is when I first started seeing him. And I've had it ever since. So it's been most of my Christian life has been seeing spirits and angels and the Lord and things like that. And I attribute that to praying in the Spirit a lot. Joe, that's what I think. First time I
Can
saw a
I
demon,
ask this?
first time I saw a demon was a little green imp looking outfit, ugly as a mud fence. We had gone over to a lady's house to deliver her from hoarding. You know what hoarding is? That's where you can't get rid of anything. And we started praying for her, and a little old green thing about 3 foot tall jumped off and started touring out the door, and he went by me and he hissed at me, and I said, "Don't even slow down, keep going." And he went on out the door. But yeah, that was the first time. But and then I've seen angels almost since I began this, got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
I remember a couple of months or maybe a year or two ago, I'm pretty sure, when I was talking to you, when you see a demon next to me and you cast it out, you chase it away. But can I ask, did he recognize you, or was he just with me? Did he know you can do that or not?
No, I can do what? I'm sorry, I have
yeah.
to ask.
If when you were casting a demon, when I was talking to you, you were casting a demon from me. Now, can that demon, did he recognize you? Did he know you or see you?
Yeah, because when I commanded them to go, they got to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I can almost every time that I pray for somebody for deliverance and the demon goes, I see him go, generally speaking. It doesn't happen all the time, not 100% of the time, but most of the time. And I see angels around me. I see Jesus. I see, and it's not me, folks. It's God, you know, looking through me, seeing through me. And it's praying in the spirit is where what I believe has used me so greatly in the spirit realm. Has anybody else experienced that? Yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, so how you said you attribute that from praying in the spirit. So how much you pray in the spirit? I mean, because like I pray in the spirit every day, and I can't see in this. You know, I can't see what you're saying. I mean, I don't see angels, not yet. Anyways, I mean, I pray to. But like how long do you pray in the spirit?
Well, it just depends. It's different every time I pray in the spirit. Sometimes I can pray in the spirit. Most of the times I'll try to pray in the spirit for at least an hour. And sometimes it's liable to be 2 hours. Sometimes it's liable to be 5 hours. It just depends on the – yeah. Yeah, first time I prayed in spirit was at my when I was in Arkansas, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on, and I prayed for 4 hours.
Oh,
when I first started speaking in the tongue.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's what I, you know, and it's not me. It's not anything that I do other than obey the Lord. And but I don't know. Once you see in the spirit, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't know where. Go ahead, Julie. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
For me, because I've
I asked the Lord to use me in whatever capacity He wanted to use me in, and I asked for all the gifts. And I would like that gift of discerning of spirits. Now, I've not seen in the spirit realm, but I mean, it has to be part of the gift of discernment of spirits, but I have felt them. Like I have felt the presence of evil. I mean, like I knew that there was demonic around me. I have smelled things in the spirit realm that shouldn't be there. I know that they're demonic. So in that sense, that is a discernment of the spirit realm. I haven't seen it. Like I haven't seen visions of demons or angels or something like that. But, I've asked the Lord for that. I'm believing He's going to use me, but it's, as He will. I can't remember how it's worded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I guess, where he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It's as He wills to give them to whomever. So, but He said, pray that you receive the greater gifts, the higher gifts, however that's worded, and pray that you may prophesy. Pray that you may prophesy. That was how he worded it too. So however that gift manifests in the prophetic, however God wants to use you in the prophetic. Anyhow, it's as the Spirit wills, how God wills to give that gift. So I'm still believing to have that gift manifest more in my life, and I pray in the Spirit a lot. I don't know that that's, I think that's part of it. It's how God wants to use us in whatever capacity. I think that's what it is. So pray for the gift. Believe it.
I'll say this much. I believe most people have seen in the spirit realm and didn't realize that's what happened. Yeah, because I think we questioned, well, did I really see that or was that in my mind? That kind of question. But most of the time, it's what you've seen in the spirit. And once you see in the spirit and you know it's in the spirit that you've seen something, you can pick it up pretty easy. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara, I didn't see you. But as soon as Andrew gets through, I'll let you go.
So, you can you can actually feel things in the spirit too, because the testimony David gave on the Bible study was you were working on a tractor or something, and something flew out, and
Yep.
he felt someone touch his nose, and so. He didn't actually see them. I sort of think someone even had to catch him there and prevent any other injuries. But I've only ever experienced that once, where I was sort of turned around to go the other way. And like he did a do-si-do with me and turned me around the other way to go in that direction. I immediately thought of that when I heard that because he was talking about that, what happened to him on Wednesday. And that happened a few years ago when I was living in this building. And but I haven't really, well, I've seen the opposite spirit, but that was before I was saved. I cried out to the Lord and it disappeared. I don't know if it was a vision or a dream. It was a really heinous, ugly-looking spirit, and someone told me cry out to the Lord, and it just like withered away and left. That was when I lived at in apartment in my parents' apartment house. That was a long time ago, but I haven't seen any angels. So, and yeah, so I just wanted to mention that.
I guess one of the most profound visions that I had seeing in the spirit was that not too long ago when I saw Jesus come up out of the floor over at Anna's house and at Matt's house. To come over, and he told me, he said, "Tell David to stand up." And I said, "Okay." So I went over and I told David, I said, "Lord said, you get up. Stand up." So he stood up. I said, I don't know what he wants to say. He's coming over though. And he walked over to David and he gave him a hug. And then he started dancing out in front of me. I said, "Dance with him, David. He's dancing." So David started doing a little play-like dance, and but it was very, very real to me. Very, very. I mean, it was just like watching TV, and that was very real. That's the first time that I. What's that, Barbara?
Physically.
Well, you should have watched David. If you'd seen David, you'd said, "Yeah, it was physical." But nobody else could see it but me, if that's what you're asking. No, he didn't come physically. He was in the spirit. But he came and he walked over to David and gave him a big hug. He said something to him, but I couldn't hear what he said. And then... he said, he told me, he said, "Tell David to start dancing. I'm going to dance with him." I said, "David, start dancing. The Lord wants you to dance with him." He looked at me funny like, I said, "Don't look at me. Look at Jesus." And so he started dancing. And that was really, I loved it. I enjoyed it because that was the first time I'd seen Jesus in the spirit. He's a good God. Yeah, Julie.
That's just like a vision, seeing in the like a vision in the spirit realm is what you were. That's what was happening.
What happened is the floor just opened up and Jesus came up out of it. I said, "Look at him!"
Wow,
God, look at him! And that was probably the most profound vision that I've had. Seeing in the spirit, and I was glad to see it too, because it was really heartwarming to see. Yeah, Debbie.
So your eyes are open when you're seeing these in the spirit, right, Michael? Your eyes are open.
Okay. My eyes are open. Mm-hmm.
Like when I see things and angels and stuff, my eyes are closed with worship at times. Usually, when then I see things, but it's all spirit. It's in the spirit, but my eyes are closed. You know,
even as we're talking now, Debbie. Even as we're talking now, I'm seeing angels in here. I see my angel right there, and I wasn't looking at him either, but I know he's there because that's where he's. You know, I see he's a big angel. Yeah, you see in the spirit too, don't you, Debbie?
Yeah, but more like a vision when my eyes are closed during worship, during the songs or worshiping, and I'll see things and I speak out what I'm seeing, but my eyes are not open. I'm not seeing them that way, but I know what I'm looking at in the spirit with my eyes closed.
Sure, yeah. And I said it and I say it again. I think most everybody here has seen in the spirit at some point in time and didn't recognize it as seeing in the spirit. They thought they were just imagining something. And if you ever get to experience that, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's just they're all around us. They're all around us. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand up.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't put it down. Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I know that I have seen demons in people's eyes. And I don't know how it would, and that was it, basically. It was you could immediately tell that there was a presence, a demon there, or whatever, through their eyes, because their eyes looked totally different. But that wasn't what I was going to ask. So, Michael, how did you know that it was Jesus? Is there something in your heart that you understood or
You'll know
recognize him?
when you see Jesus, you'll know it. Oh, look,
So,
there's Jesus. It's a
okay.
knowing. It's a knowing. It's
Okay.
just like, yeah, when I saw a couple, I knew exactly who it was. I said, "Good gracious, here comes Jesus." And he said, "Michael." He said, "Michael, tell David to stand up." And he said it a little more nicer than I just did, So I go over there and I rip him up. I said, "Jesus just came in and he told me to tell you to stand up, get up out that chair." And so he stood up and Jesus came over and he just gave him a great big hug. And I don't remember, but I think he said he loved him. And of course, he loved everybody there, but he was giving David a big hug. And then he told me, he looked over at me and he said, "Now tell him to dance with me." I said, I'm thinking to myself, "What?" So I wasn't gonna argue with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I said, "David, the Lord said to dance with him." And David gives me a funny look. I said, "Don't look at me, dance. Jesus said to dance." And so he did. And it was awesome. You should have, I'm telling you, the anointing was in that room too.
Amen.
But I that's that was the most profound vision that I've had, I guess, to my knowledge. To my, yeah, Andrew.
Well, can I ask for some prayer?
Yes, sir.
I have to go and babysit again tomorrow. He doesn't like to be changed, and he wants me to change his diaper while he's standing up, and I'm not
Is this a boy?
learning how to he's learning about the word no, and it's got to work. Okay. I need some help here on how to do this, because it's been a long time, and it's an overnight thing, and I have to wake up like six, well, when he wakes up in the morning, and I'm not really used to going to bed at 9 o'clock. And I remember something similar to that way back when my kids were little, and but it's just the whole situation. It's this divorce thing is still on, and he it's not it, my
Oh,
son-in-law
yeah.
instigated it, and so I just want some prayer. I don't even know how to pray at all
Okay.
for this.
How old is he, Andrew?
He's in February, he was 1 year, so I should know this because
Okay.
I was born in February too. So it's it's June now, so I do the math. 16
About
months?
15, 16 months old.
Yeah.
Okay. I could give you some. I could give you some male experience on how to break him. He said, "Now you either lay down, or I'm gonna take you outside and hose you down. You just pick which one you want."
Yeah. Well, I figured maybe I was hurting him, you know, because you pull up his legs there and you want to wipe them there. I don't want to describe it to you, but you know.
I know I don't want you to either.
My name is Paul here, you know, and the whole situation is just a lot.
I know.
You know, like, it's
just okay. Let's pray.
Police have been involved and stuff and everything. Anyway, not with the baby, Chip, but with him showing up, you know. And anyway, there's a problem.
Well, amen, Lord. This is a problem with this child, and we thank you, Lord, that your angels are going to go in there and help Andrew get this boy down to change his diaper and put him back, get him back cleaned up. And I thank you, Father, from this point on, he's not going to have any trouble in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you that this young lad is going to obey Andrew throughout this his whole babyhood, in Jesus' name, amen. I've actually done that before. I get tired of watching that stuff. Anyway, thank you, Jesus, that he's going to have a good time with him from now on. Go ahead, Julie. She might know how to pray better. That'd be good.
Well, yeah. Oh Lord, thank you for Andrew and him helping Megan the way he is and being there as a grandpa. And Lord, we know that the little ones can be a challenge. But Lord, I just thank you for giving Andrew the grace tonight to get a good night's sleep. He'll go to bed early and just lift off any kind of oppression and discouragement or doubt. About everything that's going on within his family right now, because it's disheartening. But I thank you, Lord, for just helping him to release it all to you and give him your peace that passes all understanding so he can focus on just resting and relaxing in you. This is not a big deal. You created Finn, and you know what he needs. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Andrew the compassion and the patience and the ability just to relate to his grandson on a one-to-one basis, that they're really bonding during this time, that he's able to converse with him and love him and give him hugs and kisses, and that he can just get that child to obey him and say, we're going to change your diaper, and do it with a big smile, have the right attitude, the right tone of voice, that he's just going to be all grins and be fun to be around and just change the whole dynamic there, Lord, for him. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name that you are working in Zach's heart, you're working in Megan's heart, you're working in their lives. And I just pray for grace for this family. I still believe in, Lord, you to do great miracles and turn things around and save Zach, deliver him from the bondages, the deceptions that he's in. And that you can stop anything, this divorce, and save him. And I pray for encouragement and faith, and just that you'll help Andrew just be there to support Megan and be there as a, you know, a big help to her, because he is. And help him just to rest in you, that you're going to take care of it all, and just help him enjoy his time with his little grandson, and enjoy him in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Developing a bond there.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
I just felt the Lord save me to say to Andrew, the Lord is saying, do not make this a difficult thing. Is anything too difficult for me? So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good word. Well, all right, Lord, we thank you for another wonderful night together with all of my good buddies, good friends, brothers and sisters. And we praise you. We thank you for all that's accomplished this night because of the reading of the real good news, Lord. That's a wonderful book. Many people have it, and some of them have it supernaturally. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All right, folks. Y'all be blessed.